My name is Muhsin Mahdawi. In America, I go by Mohsen, like Moses with an M. I am still a student at Columbia University.
You're still enrolled?
Yes, okay. I'm still enrolled as an undergrad student studying philosophy. This is my last semester. I am looking forward to graduation, which is supposed to take place in May 21st. And I have been accepted to continue a master's degree, basically in international affairs at Columbia University as well, which I hope to start in the fall of 2025.
So you've been in the U.S. for how long?
For over 10 years.
For over 10 years. And how did you end up in the U.S.?
It's a longer story to tell, but it started by falling in love with an American woman who I married.
If you would be deported, where would you be deported to?
And this is a big challenge as well, because I am technically a stateless person. I was born and raised in a refugee camp in the West Bank, where all of my family still resides. And as you know, the West Bank is basically a war zone right now. Basically, if there is a decision to deport me, where will I be deported? Basically, to another war zone.
You sat with our colleague, Bill Whitaker, for 60 minutes. What was the consequence?
Serious threats, death threats, intimidation, and doxing where my name and my face was shared online with many, many different social media groups who are inciting hate, who are supporting the war against the Palestinian people, and who are unable to see that the Palestinian children have an equal value of life exactly as Israeli children.
How did it impact you?
Some groups would choose active members, basically, or activists. They take their names, their faces, and they publish it online, and they associate wrong information. They manipulate information, create lies, and attach them to the profiles of those either students or activists. And the impact of this, they hope for those students to not have a future.
But the risks are greater than just that.
Yes, there are further risks for sure. There are life or death risks. In my situation, if I am sent back to Palestine, this could be a risk on my life.
What are some of those lies or manipulations that have been said about you?
The one that was shared most recently, it was actually flipping the fact like 180 degrees. I was the person who stood up against an incident of anti-Semitism on campus. I gave a speech. I stopped the person who did not belong to the group. I gave a speech. I shamed the person. And the whole group, the protesters over them, 400 students who were there shamed the person as well. So we made it very clear that our movement is about justice and anti-Semitism has no place in our movement. But they took that story and they said, I am the person who said F the Jews.
Wow.
And based on this, basically the campaign for deportation went viral against me.
What happened after that?
I received death threats by social media, some emails, and I had a page that is associated and assigned to me, all fabrication of information. I never was in most of the groups that they have mentioned. My affiliation was very clear with two organizations at Columbia. And also they said that I am actually promoting violence, which is not true. Some people actually found where I was. And they came to my place where they slipped a paper underneath my door saying, we are watching you.
How long have you been hiding?
March 9th or 8th.
That first weekend of March. Yeah.
That's right. So we're talking about roughly 1 month.
How do you make that choice to leave your housing and hide?
I decided directly after I learned about the detention of Mahmoud. And I learned that basically the agents did not have a court order or a warrant in order to detain him. So technically, the process for justice was missing there. I could be kidnapped at any point, like what happened with other students, like Rumsiya Ozturk.
Mahmoud was detained. You sheltered in place. Now a court agreed with his potential deportation. How did that sit with you?
It's a painful reality. It's a painful reality that we live in the United States, the country of the free world. So when I see a court decision saying that he is deportable, it feels like it's heart-wrenching that the level of injustice and the violation of the principles of freedom and free speech and equality is being applied on Mahmoud, mainly because he is a Palestinian speaking up about the truth that his people are going through.
What does that order mean for you personally?
It means that the struggle is much more complicated. It means that it's not over yet. It means now that the struggle between the Palestinian liberation and basically democracy are much more tied. The American people are realizing now that there is strong correlation between the injustice that's happening in Palestine and the injustice that's happening here and the attack on free speech.
There's an appointment that you're showing up to.
Correct.
What is this appointment for and when did it come in?
This appointment is for my citizenship application, the N-400 application, which is a naturalization process. It was scheduled on March, I believe, 27th.
After your name has been out there.
Yes. Obviously. And during my time sheltering in place.
Is this an appointment you've been waiting for years?
I've been waiting for this appointment since February of 2024.
Okay.
It was expected to be the window for it between November and January.
When you got the appointment, what were your thoughts?
My mind went, mixed feelings, right? It's the first feeling of like, I've been waiting for this for more than a year. And the other feeling is like, wait a minute, is this a honey trap?
Will
I get detained there?
You think they could be calling you in to detain you?
Correct.
If that's the case, why was it important for you to speak with us before showing up there?
Because I believe that this story is very important for the American people. And because I believe that if I get detained tomorrow, Monday, this detention would be unjust and unfair and in violation of the principles of this country.
When you think about perhaps the Khalil case where he was taken at night and we were not able to hear from him after, what do you want people to hear from you in the case that you are detained?
I want people to know that the work and the activism that we have done was centered in the energy of love. We did it because of our love for humanity, our love for justice, our love for human rights. And I want people to know that my compassion extended beyond the Palestinian people. my compassion is also for the Jewish people and for the Israelis as well. So people need to actually look at both sides and figure out what is the truth, because the accusation that the Palestinian cause and the pro-Palestine movement at Colombia was anti-Semitic is a false accusation, and it is unjust accusation.
You've had time to think about what's happening to you and others. What do you think is the ultimate goal?
The ultimate goal, as I see it, is censoring people, preventing them from sharing their truth, and controlling them by fear.
You say you're not hiding, you're sheltering in place, but people don't know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Because basically I am in jeopardy. I mean, my freedom is in jeopardy. The courts have not ruled yet on this situation clearly. I believe that the track will be corrected, but now it's a matter of time. It's a storm. Mm. The way how I see it, this is a storm. When there is a strong storm, we shelter. When the storm is over, we go out again.
The storm is not over and you're showing up to this meeting. Why?
Because I believe in the cause, the Palestinian cause, and I believe in justice. This meeting, because tomorrow could be actually the day where the storm might take me away.
Mm.
And then my voice may not be heard for a very long time. So I am giving this interview because I have faith. Faith in the people who have open hearts and who don't want to shut their eyes, who want to see the truth for what it is. My people are dying. My family has suffered. My cousins, 6 cousins have been killed. My uncle, I saw him killed in front of my eyes as a child. My best friend was shot in front of my eyes. I was shot in my leg. And all of these efforts are there to silence me, to say nothing about these stories that deserve to be heard. I believe in the American people and their ability to see and to feel. I am not intimidating anybody. And I want my people in Palestine to have equal rights to my people in America.
Do you know what the consequence would be of you not showing up to this appointment, since you suspect it could be a honey trap, as you call it?
The consequence is losing an opportunity, even though it might be a very small opportunity, of having the citizenship. And on the other hand, continuing to shelter in place for a much longer time until this storm is over.
The way I see it, you walking into this appointment could go either you are detained, possibly en route to be deported, or you become an American citizen. What would becoming an American citizen mean for you?
I am stateless. I've never really felt at home, because to feel at home is to feel safe and loved. And safety never was provided to me, to be able to sleep in my house without worrying that the soldiers would break into my house, to be able to travel from my apartment, usually, to my campus without being detained or stopped by a checkpoint, to be able to dream, a dream for this world, to be able to make the world a better place without my dreams being stopped just because of my ethnicity or my nationality. This is the American dream. What motivates me to continue advocating for Palestinians to have rights and to be free of this occupation and of the apartheid system is the stories that I witnessed and lived through. The people who I saw suffering, their pictures, their suffering, their stories are with me, and I cannot deny them, and I cannot betray them. It's my duty to share their stories, and it's my duty to try to help them to have rights, a freedom that I've never experienced until I came to America, what it means to have rights as a Palestinian. I will be going to the interview completely with two possibilities. I'm prepared for two extreme opposite poles of possibilities. The first one is having rights and becoming a citizen of this country, which means I'll have the freedom to pursue what I wish to pursue. And the second one is to get detained and lose my rights, being handcuffed and taken to a detention center.
How disorienting.
It's
I mean, I'm thinking of you preparing for that test and the questions about U.S. history and the symbols and and then at the same time, possibly preparing yourself for that worst outcome.
It is, it's an irony, and the irony of the destiny. And I accept the outcome spiritually, regardless of what is it going to be. If my story will become another story for the struggle to have justice and democracy in this country, let it be.